This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I just got to tell you, you know, you get out in public, and I had as many people this weekend talk to me before Michigan-Ohio State, talk to me about Kang's situation as I did the game. Oh, yeah. And we'll get to the game in a minute, but let's update people on Kang's situation. His wife is due to give birth on Wednesday.
That's the actual due date, 40 weeks.
And the situation that I am referencing is that your rec league championship basketball game's tomorrow night.
Is it a big sitch?
I'm looking like probable for status right now.
Well,
I'm still here, guys.
The idea is if she goes into labor before the basketball game, when is it too late to play in the game? And I don't know if we ever came to a conclusion.
And when is it too soon to leave her, right? Same thing.
Right. If she went into labor, say, Saturday, you know, you could probably play in a basketball game on Tuesday night. But if now that we're at Monday, and this was the debate that raged last week that many people asked me about, hey, what's up with Kang? Is he going to play in his game? And I said, I don't know. If she goes into labor today, are you playing tomorrow?
See, what was your, you said Monday at noon?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
We called my wife and she said Monday at noon. Yeah.
That was, it was delivered at Monday at noon.
Yes.
Yes.
So we're getting that gray area here. What do you got, 2 hours?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, it's ultimately up to her.
Yeah.
If she wants me to stay, I will stay. But I think we're getting in that area. If the baby comes out today, I might have the window. If we get, hey, if they say tomorrow, hey, you guys can go ahead and leave the hospital. Yeah, she still might want me at home.
Huh. Yeah.
Yep. We're in that area, Doug. Yep. I'm not sure yet. I couldn't tell you right now.
But the update is she has not given birth, too. I want to make sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right. So.
Keep limber.
Really bad, bad, bad day at the office for Jim Harbaugh, for Don Brown, the defensive coordinator, and the defensive staff. There were other problems from a football slash preparation slash, I don't know if it's a program mentality standpoint from what took place down in Columbus, but from the game, the 60 minutes on the field, they did the one thing that they couldn't do. And that is the defensive line and the linebacking core got zero pressure on Dwayne Haskins. And I mentioned at the end of the show, I got called a closet Buckeye fan because I was talking up Dwayne Haskins in the Ohio State pass game so much. But sometimes a matchup can kill you.
Were you leg humping it or just bringing it up?
I don't know whether you want to call it leg humping and call it whatever you want. I just know that the amount of respect that I thought that passing game deserved was not getting doled out up here nearly enough. And that's why I talked about it. And if you have a matchup that you can exploit, you can ride that to victory regardless of how the game is going. Last week, or what the teams are bringing to the table, I should say. Last week, I mentioned that Indiana played a very similar style to Ohio State, and Ohio State does it with better athletes. And I saw Michigan make some changes from the Indiana game. We'll get into specifically what they were, but they didn't work. But the number one thing they couldn't afford to do was let Dwayne Haskins sit back there and pick him apart. And they got zero pressure on Dwayne Haskins. And he did exactly that. He picked them apart. And I didn't think it was insignificant that last year Haskins entered the game when JT Barrett got hurt. And Haskins went 6 of 7 for 94 yards and ran it 3 times for 24 yards. He had seen the Michigan defense and, quite frankly, in his short period of time, gave them their best quarterback play in that game at the most critical time in that game. And he comes back a year later and he's able to mimic the performance. And it was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing. And, you know, I talked about it all last week, and it was fatal. Excuse me.
You're all choked up.
No, I'm not. I got something in my throat.
Is it a fraud?
It was it was fraud. Fatal. And I thought Ohio State's offensive line issues were a bit over-exaggerated. They were, in terms of tackles for loss allowed and sacks allowed, they were in the top 25 in the country in those numbers.
Right, but that's not what anybody was worried about. People were with Ohio State. They said that they're not able to run the football because they don't have the right quarterback in to run the RPO stuff that JT Barrett had run, that Braxton Miller had run, and Dwayne Haskins is a pocket passer, and this is why the running backs aren't getting off like they should, even though a week ago, J.K. Dobbins ran for 200 yards.
Yeah, and Haskins carried the ball, I think it was 15 times against Maryland the week before. Yeah. Like, they were starting to say, okay, even keep though this is not his strength, we need to let people know he can do it.
And, keep him honest.
And literally the first play of the game, that's what they did. They ran a zone read, and he kept the ball and ran for 8 yards or whatever it was. But the most stunning thing to me was that Michigan had no answers. Like, through 11 weeks of the season, one thing that they had done is gone to the locker room and sort some stuff out. They would outscored opponents 110-19 in the third quarter this year. Of the 19, 7 came on a 7-yard field at Michigan State. They gave up a touchdown to SMU. Those were the only 2 touchdowns they'd given up in the third quarter all year. And they gave up a few field goals. There was a missed extra point mixed in as well to bring it to 19 points. Or I guess it was 2 field goals, 2 touchdowns, 1 with a missed extra point. They had gone into the halftime locker room and made adjustments. Indiana, first half, 17 points, moved the ball over them. Second half, they kicked a field goal in the fourth quarter. They had made adjustments, and they came out of the halftime locker room. They forced a punt on the first series, and then Ohio State just opened up the floodgates. And it was an embarrassing performance. And look, Haskins, you know, had shown that he could do this if you didn't pressure him. And it's not just Haskins. It's P.J. Hill. It's Paris Campbell. I mean, they've got
K.J. Hill, yeah.
Yeah, K.J. Hill, sorry. And Paris Campbell. They've got guys who can get open. And it was a fatal flaw.
You go back and just looking at the box score, and it's really unbelievable. And Dwayne Haskins threw for 396 yards, just under 400. He'd already thrown for over 400 yards 4 times this year. So he just missed a 5th one by 4 yards. He's got over 4,000 yards on the season now. He only completed 20 passes. 20 passes at 20 yards a clip on average. That's incredible. I mean, to look at how efficient that offense was, and then running the football, which is, you know, the strength of Michigan's defense, and they ran it right at it for almost 5 yards a carry. 171 yards. Ohio State outran Michigan in the game. And it was watching it, I was stunned at how easily Ohio State was able to move the ball against Michigan's defense. And I the only thing I was questioning is, why aren't they trying to dial up any kind of added pressure? Because they're clearly not getting it from guys that they counted on getting it from. And, you know, Winovich didn't get after the quarterback. Rashawn Gary didn't get after the quarterback. And Devin Bush didn't even sniff the quarterback. And maybe it was a conscious decision because of how they got burned in the first half on the crossing routes, and they don't want to take the linebacker out of the equation, because if you bring in the linebacker, well, then everything across the middle is going to work. I don't know, but they couldn't do it. They did nothing in terms of getting after the quarterback. And this is a defense that number one in the country coming into the game, and it's the classic matchup you want to see: a great defense against a great offense. And typically you meet somewhere in the middle. You don't typically see the offense continue to do what they've done, which is what happened Saturday.
All right, 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your votes in for Champ and Chump of the weekend. Who stood out and had a great weekend? Who needs to be called out for having a weekend that stunk? I'm pretty sure I know where this is going.
They put 62 on them?
You know, you think about it, if Michigan's defense was bad and they scored 39 points, I think they win the game. Unfortunately, Michigan's defense versus Ohio State's offense was literally historically record-breakingly bad. Like, just a bad day. They probably win the game. But before the game, all last week, I said, I expect this to be a high-scoring affair. I think Ohio State's going to be able to do some things offensively. I didn't think they'd be able to do everything they wanted.
But when you thought high-scoring, you didn't think they'd get into the 40s, did you? Think it would be like
no,
in the 30s?
No, I thought it'd be
like
in the 30s.
31-30 or something
like
that.
It's exactly the kind of game I thought it would be. But hey, man, it was a high-scoring affair. It was a super high-scoring affair for Ohio State. Okay, so.
Some more Brandon Peters? Is that what people want now?
No, I think people want, I mean, the look, I've seen some stuff about replacing the offensive coordinator, making changes offensively. I'm like, if that's your takeaway from the game, I don't know what to tell you. There are some things you can look at it doing offensively. Because right now, if you look at the top of the country, there's a whole lot of very successful programs that are doing the run to the line of scrimmage, get the next snap off in 15 seconds. And the question is, from a philosophical standpoint, can you win on the national level playing, for lack of a better term, man ball? They'll line up with three tight ends and run the ball a lot. Now, the crazy thing is Michigan runs spread. They run five wide. And they run I formation and pistol too. But do they need to be a tempo offense? And do they play a game like that, Big 12 style, hairs on fire, got to score every possession?
Well, the other side of the Big 12 style is that you don't play defense.
Nope.
And that's the difference.
I suppose if
their defense didn't show up on Saturday, which is just startling that it didn't show up. Now, given this was clearly the best offense Michigan faced all year.
The best passing offense by far.
I couldn't believe was that, you know, the second half, Don Brown and Michigan's defense have owned the second half. And for them to give up 31 points in the second half defensively, because you had the touchdown on the punt. I mean, but for them to give up 31 points in the second half, I was just, you got to be kidding me. Am I watching this? Where are the adjustments? Where is this happening? Where is that happening? And I refuse to believe that it's as simple as, and because I know a lot of people are going to come out and say, well, look, this is all about recruiting. This is what happens. This is what happens when, you know, Ohio State basically is an SEC team. They recruit. It's all about speed. Look at the speed they have. Michigan's got plenty of speed. They have plenty of guys. They have plenty of athletes on their team. Why they weren't able to match up, I'm not sure. I don't know what happened. I don't know if did Ohio State throw something completely different at Don Brown that he wasn't expecting at all. I mean, he's seen everything, but he did not expect this or what? Because the defensive effort in the second half was appalling if you're a Michigan fan. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you're like, well, this is what we've done offensively all year long, with the exception of one game.
Well, and I, you know, what is Harbaugh doing wrong with this rivalry game? And I don't know. I don't know, but here's the thing. You need to know when to evolve. And I'm not saying that I know that this is the time to evolve, but I imagine you do a long look in the mirror. I mean, when you're having issues in whatever your line of work is and you're having the same problems, you got to look in the mirror and you got to figure out, all right, is it time for me to evolve, or if I stay the course, there's going to be success? For Michigan fans, I'll give you an example. When John Beilein got to Michigan, huge volume of three-pointers, a lot of 1-3-1 defensively. Then they evolved into more of a pick-and-roll offense. This year, they're probably not going to shoot as many threes. He went out and got defensive coordinators, if you will, for his basketball program. He's got a guy like Luke Yaklich who came in that is a great defensive mind. And Beilein has evolved late in his career. And you can see the results. Coaches need to know when to evolve. And this might be the time that Jim Harbaugh has to say, all right, how do I evolve to beat Urban Meyer at Ohio State? What do I need to do to evolve? Or if I stay the course, I think we're going to get him eventually. That's his decision, and his career and his job and his legacy is all dependent upon that. And it's nobody's got more on the line than him. He's got to do it.
0-4 in the games against Ohio State with four different quarterbacks starting. Is that true?
Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Rudock started, Spate started, O'Korn started, and now, yes, Peters.
So 0-4 with four different quarterbacks. And it could be a fifth different quarterback next year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the plan last year would be to have Spate, but Spate got hurt. So 248-539-9797, ticket text 97136. Let's get to your phone calls. Ben in Detroit. Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys, how you doing there?
Okay. Hi, Ben.
I mean, relatively speaking, I mean, I'm a big Michigan fan. It's just been kind of disheartening for the past 7 years, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. You get my point. But you know what? People talk about the rivalry, and they kept going back to the 10-year rivalry. Let's stop. I mean, 62-39, and it looked like they could have scored 80 on them. But my point really is, and you said it, what does he have to do in these big games? Is he not allowing the offense, even though the defense, of course, failed him. Let's just call it what it is. That was a utterly disaster on defense. Couldn't get no pressure, tackling, all that. But the offense, I think Stoney and whoever it is this morning.
Jamie.
So they said that on one week, Harbaugh came on and said it was like Monty, with the offensive coordinator, offensive line, new coach. Well, if it's that simple, Ohio State must have been listening and looking. Because it seemed like the blocking schemes was just as simple. The linebackers was coming up on the ball.
They ran the ball for 161 yards, 4 yards a carry. They protected the quarterback reasonably well. I mean, he was sacked 3 times, but it's not like he was sacked under duress the entire time. They did drop back quite a bit. They threw one interception. Offensively, I don't think Michigan was all that bad offensively. They scored 39 points in the game. You want to take away the last touchdown and say whatever and call it 32, whatever you want to call it. They scored over 30 points against Ohio State. That if you were told that ahead of time, you'd probably feel pretty good about it, saying they'd win. Their defense let them down in the game.
They was on a fast track. They was not on that slow, grinding track that they usually, like with Michigan State. They pounded and pounded and pounded. And, Pep Hamilton kept saying they walked out and pounded and pounded. But he is. I really believe. Everybody, have you watched Unusual Suspects?
Yes, The Usual Suspects, yes.
Usual Suspects, right. You know what I'm saying? I believe Urban Meyer, from the time he lost at Purdue, planned this whole thing. Oh, I'm sick. I'm leaving. I'm going here. Just like the guy did that was a Kaiser Soze and all that.
Urban Meyer's Kaiser Soze. Is that what you're saying?
Interesting. Well, Champ and Chump will have ours today at 10:35.
I'm not going to be surprised if there's an announcement that Urban Meyer is done. I don't think it'll happen now. I don't think it's going to happen before the Big Ten championship game. I think that they'll wait and see. Well, maybe it will happen before the Big Ten championship game, actually. Because if you're trying to maximize Ohio State and the brand of Ohio State right now, heading into the final college football playoff.
He might announce his retirement to make sure he gets in the playoff.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time that a coach's retirement helped influence something.
That's true.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.